We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Monday to you and a happy July 1st to you. Ben Love alongside the famous Glenn D. And we're ready to begin July. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. The full three-hour Monty set to unfold. Want to come right out of the chutes with the national and regional stories of the last 36 hours. And then we'll end our opening segment with something still clearly and obviously tugging at the heartstrings of people locally and with reverberations nationally as well. But let's start with the NBA free agency period. And it's one of the damnedest things year after year that you'll ever see. Officially, well, you could start talking, you could start communicating, you could do things not cloak and dagger and behind a curtain, what, yesterday, 6 p.m.? And yet, the July moratorium ends this Friday. And so everything I'm about to tell you, yeah, it's in the proposed and kind of agreed in principle stage, but you could bet your bottom dollar every one of these items, including the Pel's latest moves, are going to be rubber stamped beginning this Friday. But how about one of the wildest days in a long time, and I mean a long freaking time, in the NBA? And leading toward yesterday is exactly what Adam Silver and the latter part of the David Stern era, it's exactly what it's all been about. How long can you talk about our product year-round and just lead into what has become a feeding frenzy of free agency? All told, yesterday, by my count at least, how about 37 deals? 37 that were discussed, again, not finalized, but kind of announced by basically Woj and Shams, the guys that crush Twitter and announce and break everything. And the big deals, let's start nationwide, kind of a switcheroo, coast to coast, Golden State, and not the New York Knicks, but the Brooklyn Nets. And that was the growing sentiment, is that KD had a New York state of mind, but he didn't end up with the tenured state program and franchise. He'll be with Jay-Z and the Russian owner. My man's going to Brooklyn. And so, too, is Kyrie Irving. But they're not alone. Tying it in locally, Garrett Temple agreed to a two-year, $9.8 million contract. And so don't look now. Some pretty cool stats out there. Garrett Temple, among just a handful of former LSU players ever to make it double-digit years in the league. And there's a tie-in with the guy that Garrett Temple D'd up in Atlanta in March of 2006. How do I know I was there? And he'll be a Pelican. We'll get to that very quickly. But the Nets found a way to bring in Kevin Durant. Obviously, they won't have his services next year. They went out and got Kyrie Irving and really just loaded up. But they weren't the only ones. The Warriors re-signed Klay Thompson, five-year max contract worth about $190 million. They're also going to bring over, as part of the sign-and-trade with the Nets, D'Angelo Russell, and I could go on and on and on. Kemba Walker, Terry Rozier trading places, Boston to Charlotte. You've got the Lopez brothers that'll be playing together for the Bucks. I suggest you get your tape recorders out. They're going to be media gold. Derrick Rose to the Pistons. And, well, frankly, from there, a whole lot of people that kind of stayed put. Tobias Harris stays with the Sixers. Chris Middleton with the Bucks. Kristaps Porzingis, his deal with the Mavs was announced. The only other people, I should say, that traded places, DeAndre Jordan's going to join that new nucleus in New Jersey. And Jimmy Butler in the Heat, agreeing to a four-year max deal worth just shy of $141 million. But let's go to the Pelicans, because their deals were a little more understated, but they fit needs, right? It's like recruiting. Fit needs and get it done quickly. The Pels did that on all fronts. J.J. Redick, yeah, there's the guy from Duke that Garrett Temple D'd up back in the gap. Redick coming over on a two-year, $26.5 million deal. A lot of reasons he's excited to be in New Orleans. Reportedly, I'm going to share those with you at about 4:30. I found those to be very fascinating, and it's a reason I think New Orleans has quickly become a bit of a basketball destination city. Pels weren't done there. They went to Europe. Nikola Melli, to the best I could pronounce it, agreeing to a two-year, $4 million deal. One of the best players in the EuroLeague. Played with Fenerbahce in Turkey. Say that a few times. And the Pels, according to Andrew Lopez, now formerly of NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, New Orleans nearing a deal to acquire Derek Favors from the Jazz for a couple of future second-round draft picks. Why is that cooler than you may imagine? For a guy that averaged about 12-8 last year, not shabby numbers, not tremendous, because Favors was a former number 3 overall pick. And so the Pels continuing to do works. Meanwhile, the Lakers, yeah, they weren't drawing much. Meanwhile, the Knicks, yeah, that's all, folks, as in all they got yesterday was Julius Randle. So we know the Pels won't have him. But for 3 years, $63 million, I think New Orleans was willing to let him walk. We got a lot more coming at you, especially on the NBA. In our next segment, Steve Kyler, basketballinsiders.com. He'll break it down from a Pels perspective, and then he'll go nationwide as well. Our only scheduled guest in hour number one, Ruffin Rodgery, coming your way at 5:15. He was golden on Friday. We'll bring him back today. And then James Buers, high school football fans, manna from the heavens falling at straight up 6 o'clock. But let me be clear about one thing as we head into our first break. I want to send all of our thoughts and prayers out to Tony Robichaux. A second surgery, we learned over the weekend, was required at Ochsner in New Orleans. And what I can tell you, the latest update, not on his health, but some of the things transpiring locally, UL just put out a release in the last 15 to 20 minutes, and I'll read it to you. Friends and family of baseball coach Tony Robichaux will be gathering for a prayer service and rosary on Tuesday, July 2nd, that's tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. at Russo Park. All are welcome to attend. Keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Coach Robe, you will remain in ours. All right, we're coming up on our first break. We'll talk more about that as the show goes on, but certainly important to keep in perspective what really matters in life. It's a sports show, but that guy has meant a lot more than just baseball and sports in the Hub City. All right, we're going to take a quick recess. On the other side, Steve Kyler, basketballinsiders.com. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Back in more of your 4 o'clock hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live on 103.7 The Game. You only think you know how all this free agency stuff goes down. It started yesterday. Well, I guess at least officially, but trust me, its roots were planted long before Sunday, June 30th. He's going to learn you all about it. He is aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline. It's our good friend Steve Kyler, basketballinsiders.com. Steve, are you done myth-busting everybody on Twitter yet?
No, it's a full-time job. It really is. You know, I love to be interactive on Twitter and kind of help people understand how this world works, but sometimes people have this narrative in their head that it's like, you've watched way too many shows, because that's not how it goes.
Yeah, they saw one Kevin Costner draft day, movie, and they know everything. But before we get into details, Pelicans, NBA free agency, in a nutshell, how does it work? I mean, some of this groundwork certainly is laid leading into when it officially kicks off, right?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, and this is kind of how it goes. As much as the NBA doesn't want its teams talking to players and agents early, they do, and it really starts, you know, most teams started gauging what players were thinking in and around the draft combine. I've stood with agents when their phone rang or teams came up and talked to them. And, you know, it's that fact-finding. Is it going to be 3 years and 18? What would he, could we get it done at 12? and then they start to figure out who's going to cost what. Then you go back to your war room, and then you go, is the draft pick better than a free agent? Well, we can get a free agent for 3 years and 18, or we can spend our draft pick and get basically the same player. So that's why they're doing that, is trying to figure out how to spend those assets. And then once the draft is done, literally the Monday after the draft, you know, teams started reaching out. Okay, we know what we have from the draft. Now here's what we need and what we're willing to do. And if you get the quick yes, and that's really what a lot of teams are looking for, is the quick yes, then you can mark that off your board and move on to the next guy. Now, you're not going to get into the real offer part of it, and you're certainly not putting anything in writing. A lot of it is me saying 3 years, 38, and you say absolutely. And then we move on to the discussion. So, you know, some of this has been going on, and you get to the point where it actually happens, you know, when you're allowed technically to do it. And then you allow those official entries, and that's why you see 37 deals get done and $3.7 billion committed in a 12-hour span, because most of the groundwork on this stuff happened weeks before.
Well, give us, I guess, your observations of what the home state team here has done, Steve. The New Orleans Pelicans, first, J.J. Redick, two-year, $26.5 million deal. And by all accounts, Redick had similar offers out there, but really wanted to be in New Orleans. And then the report that came out last night that the Pels are sending a couple of second-round future draft picks over to Utah in return for Derek Favors. Your impressions?
Well, when you look at it in its totality, especially, you know, you're losing Anthony Davis, how do you rebuild the franchise? Home run across the board, right? You know, you come out with Zion Williamson, you get shooters, you get veteran leaders. You know, there have been a lot of really good moves. The draft was good. The trades around the draft were good. Everything New Orleans is coming up roses. And, you know, this is why you go out and hire a David Griffin, because teams need to be not a linear thinker in terms of we're going to run down one road and see what we can do. We're going to be, you know, a dimensional thinker and work seven different angles all at once. And you see it all come together and you're like, how did you get all of this done? That's why he's worth what he's worth.
Talking with Steve Kuyler, you need to follow his work, basketballinsiders.com, and you need to have him on the Twitter dial, at Steve Kuyler NBA. I don't know how much you could share with the guy Melli, who's coming over, and I'm probably butchering the last name, played with Fenerbahce over in Turkey. Apparently, he was one of the EuroLeague's best players. They're getting him for relatively low money. I mean, is that just adding to the bench?
It really is, and when you think that you know, reports are out there that the New Orleans Pelicans are hiring Ryan Fanone to be their G League head coach. He's had a really big career in Europe. There's a reason, because he's going to help develop some of these guys, and there's a pipeline of good, inexpensive talent available internationally that can start to solve some of this problem of guys don't want to play in a particular market. You know, international guys want to play wherever they're going to get a chance to play and be in the NBA, and they don't necessarily care. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, a really good player on a really nice contract that is going to fit in. And just look around the NBA, whether it's Nikola Vucevic, whether it's been Nikola Mirotic, who had a stint. You know, there's great value in some of these European guys, because not only are they good players, but they've been playing high-level professional basketball generally for a couple of years, and they've been playing against men. So they're not playing against college-level dudes that don't know how to play. They're playing against probably some of the most elite. When you think about the EuroLeague, think about the ACB, those are probably the two toughest leagues outside of the NBA.
Steve, for my money, and I know it was a crazy, crazy Sunday yesterday to kick this whole free agency period off, I think that the switcheroo, if you will, from Golden State to Brooklyn was the most fascinating. How do you think both sides came out, and maybe the future for the Nets and the Warriors?
Well, one, I think the Warriors, you know, it always sucks to lose a player, but when you think about you are going to have to pay, if you re-sign Klay Thompson to the deal that he just agreed to, you get Kevin Durant max, both guys don't play next year, and you're paying $350 million in salary and tax in year one. Then you'll do the whole thing with Draymond Green next year, and then that number goes up. And over the next 4 years, you're going to spend out $1.6 billion in salary and taxes.
Wow.
On a team that you paid $700 million for. So it was a huge financial commitment. So the Warriors actually come out of this in a pretty good way because Kevin Durant was willing to do a sign and trade and because D'Angelo Russell was willing to become a Warrior. Now they're going to have some problems filling out the roster. They're getting hard capped and they've spent a bunch of money, so they've got to be smart about how they get the rest of the roster fleshed out. But, you know, when you're talking about losing a top five player in the league to get a top 15 guy back in return, pretty good day. For the Nets, this is what they have been working towards. If you think about where the Nets were, say, 4 years ago, they trade away the world to get, you know, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and think they're going to make a run at the finals, leverage all of their draft picks. Doesn't work out. They have nothing to build the roster around. They hire Sean Marks, unproven GM, give him keys to the kingdom. He takes every swing at the pinata he can, drafting injured guys, picking up guys off of waiver wires, hires Kenny Atkinson, this unproven coach, and they built this amazing culture that gets into the seventh seed last year. They have all of his cap space. They have a world-class training facility, and they built an infrastructure that was envious for some of these guys. And Kyrie said yes. Kevin Durant said yes. DeAndre Jordan said yes. Garrett Temple said yes. I mean, it's a big coup. And by the way, they still didn't have to give up Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jarrett Allen, and all of those young guys that have been, really scrappy, interesting players. So this is what you want to do. This is how you rebuild a team. And when you think about how quickly the Brooklyn Nets did it versus how long the New York Knicks have been trying to do it, it's been pretty impressive.
Just made the local fans happy, Steve, with the Garrett Temple drop. Former LSU Tiger is now going to be a double-digit year NBA player. Phenomenal what a kid from Baton Rouge has accomplished. We got another moment or two with Steve Kuyler, basketballinsiders.com. And while there are teams that progressed their case yesterday and will continue to, tell me what in the world's going on in Houston, a team that's been a perennial contender since James Harden and CP3 got the mixture right. What do you see as the future in H-Town?
This one's tough. As good as the Houston Rockets have been on the floor, their decision-making process and how they've managed things, isn't necessarily great. They blew out their entire coaching staff. They're playing games with Mike D'Antoni on his contract. They put the entire roster on the market trying to get to cap space so that they could go after Jimmy Butler. They thought maybe we had Jimmy, and certainly it was well leaked and well talked about in terms of what they would do. And they don't even get a meeting with Jimmy. So, some of this is just, unfortunately Houston kind of, maybe they're paying for some of their process, but it looks like they're going to run it back. They're going to bring all of these guys back and hope they can pick up where they left off. When you have James Harden and you have Chris Paul, you're in this. As long as those guys are healthy, you're in it. Clint Capella's good. Eric Gordon is good. You got to wonder how some of these guys respond to, especially in Eric Gordon's case, being an ending contract guy. He wanted an extension, didn't get it. So there's turmoil for sure, but there's a lot of talent. And, in this league, you can overcome a lot of things. I mean, you think about some of the dysfunctional Cleveland Cavalier teams. When LeBron was there, there was the dumpster fire team that they traded away half the roster and still got to the finals. Talent will win out, but there's just a whole lot of stuff going on in Houston that you got to wonder, how's that helping you win basketball games?
All right, one more behind the scenes before we let you go, Steve, and this will be fun for our listeners. The average day for you this time of year, how many calls, how many texts, how many carrier pigeons?
Not as many as the draft. I'm way more active around the draft in terms because I'm in gyms with guys, and then when you're around as many players as I am, gyms are calling every day wanting to know what you know. So that's not as busy now. But my day will start generally like yesterday, started at about 5:30-ish in the morning, probably shut it down around 1 a.m., was right back at it at 6 a.m. this morning. It'll probably go till maybe 10 or 11 tonight. Things will start to wind down a little bit because so much is off the board. Emails, text messages, phone calls, 50, 60 a day, easy. We were trying to, do this, and unfortunately I had to bump you a little bit because an agent wanted to talk. So, and that's like the worst part of it, right? Is like, it's hard to have like a normal life when you have to answer the call. Like, you can't send it to voicemail. You have to look at your wife and go, baby, I'll be right back. You step out and you get the stink eye from it. Text messages, more than I could probably count. being glued in front of your computer to find out what Woj and Shams are breaking. So it's a crazy time of year for sure, but this is why it's fun. You know, the one thing the NBA has become is a very transaction-oriented league. There's a lot of activity all the time. And when there's activity, you see it like it was. It's not like, hey, we did one or two things. The NBA draft, 27 transactions in the week leading up to the draft and including the draft. We saw 37 deals done yesterday. You know, the volume of activity makes it interesting because there's also an unpredictability to it. As much as you think you know, the NBA will show you every so often you don't know anything.
Remarkable. Hey, before you go, let the listeners know about the podcast. I know you guys are cutting it, basketballinsiders.com.
Yeah, we're going to finally get in. You know, the hardest part about doing anything that's recorded is just how quickly things change. And when you've got things like Kawhi Leonard is still out there, what's DeMarcus Cousins going to do? You don't want to record it and then miss it. The good news is the big fish are off the board, so we can now talk about it. But we're going to break down all the deals, some of the stuff we've heard around the deals, logic on some of the deals, thoughts on some of the deals. So it'll be a pretty big one. We'll probably go a good hour, hour and a half today. Just kind of running through all of it. You can find it on Basketball Insiders. You can find it on your favorite podcast network, certainly iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, all of those things. So that should be posted later on tonight.
He is our Basketball Insider, Steve Kyler. And go check your phone. Catch up on all those texts you just missed during the interview.
Anytime, my friend.
Fantastic insight. And again, we're just getting started on this first day of July. Do have to hit a break, though. Don't forget, we got plenty of great guests coming at you. But on the other side, your sink or swim question of the day. And yeah, it is Pels Heavy. Pel-centric, baby. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Football season can't come fast enough.
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
You little...
Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to help get you by.
Back in from break. All right, slow it down with me for a touch, and then we're going to speed it back up. I've got your sink or swim question of the day coming. But man, when there's heavy news, you just have to deliver it. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Not attempting to alarm anybody. I have nothing new with Tony Robichaux. I know that everybody's thoughts, prayers fixated on the Raging Cajuns baseball head coach. Again, you're just joining the program. That news that came out, I believe it was yesterday, CD, but Tony Robichaux, after 8 days ago suffering a heart attack, had surgery at Lafayette General. Again, all of this was last week's news. We learned Friday that he'd be moving to Ochsner in New Orleans for additional treatment. We now know today that has resulted in a second surgery. Friends, family, anybody who's been touched by this man and just supports what he and his family are obviously going through are invited to a prayer session tomorrow. Again, this was just announced by the Cajuns, 6:30 p.m., Russo Park. That's tomorrow night. Everybody welcome to attend. But the heavy news that's just dropped, and here's what I led in referring to. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim pitcher Tyler Skaggs announced dead at the age of 27. No indication on cause of death. Here's what I can tell you. They've canceled tonight's Angels-Rangers game in Texas. The Angels themselves put out a release that Skaggs, dead at 27, that he passed away in the state of Texas, and really that's it. And so everybody is losing their minds right now about a guy who was wildly popular and pitched just 2 days ago against the Oakland Athletics. So, again, a kind of a heartfelt, you know, way to barrel into a Monday, into the month of July. What else can I tell you about Tyler Skaggs? Just got married in the offseason. A first-round pick of the Angels back in the 2009 draft. Eventually made his way to the show and first pitched in 2013. But just incredibly sad news. And everybody that you can imagine on social media, from Alex Bregman to, I mean, coaches, other players throughout the league, sending up all of their thoughts and prayers. And unfortunately right now that's all we can do. But cause of death still unknown. Just wanted to make sure to pass the news along to you, the listener. All right, we'll take a deep breath.
we'll move on. We'll talk some New Orleans Pelicans because, of course, that's been all the rage around these parts. And when you consider everything that's transpired since David Griffin was named executive VP of basketball operations, saying it's remarkable is selling it short. Now, there's been some good fortune involved, right? Defying 6% odds, getting the number one overall pick, winning the Zion sweepstakes. But here's what it all means now. To date, the Pels have drafted 4 players, 3 in the top 17 picks. The Pels have traded for 3 young players, some with upsides, some we still have a lot of questions about, from the Lakers. They've got future draft picks and equity. They've got an up-and-coming GM in Trajan Langdon. They've got, arguably, a leader of the best physical training staff in the league that they've wooed over from Phoenix. A lot of things are going awfully right in New Orleans. And that leads us into the sink or swim question of the day. CD, the music first, please.
Love, exciting and new.
For the purposes of today's question, let's limit everything I just described down to just the free agency acquisitions. And so just J.J. Redick coming over to fill up a wing and then fill up the net. Just Nicolo Melli coming over from Europe. And just Derek Favors, rumored to be coming over from the Utah Jazz. Just with those three, here's your question. On a 1 to 10 scale, how exciting to you are the Pels free agency additions? Call us up. Let us know. We got about 30 to 40 minutes to explore the space. 706-0111. CD, lead us off.
You know, it definitely is about a 7.5 on the Richter scale. I think more because, and a lot of this relies on one person and one person only. I think that's J.J. Redick. And it's largely because of the fact he is a veteran player. When you look at a lot of the players that are now on the Pelicans roster, a lot of them only have a couple years of experience in the NBA. Zion Williamson, obviously a rookie, a lot of young talent all the way around. It's always great to have that old guard in there, and I'm not really casting aspersions on him by using the word old guard. It's just facts. The guy's 35 years old, and he's going to help this franchise out a lot in terms of helping build these guys up to get used to the rigors of the NBA, and it adds a lot of depth. Just solely on that one alone, it winds up putting about a 7.5 to an 8 on the Richter scale for me.
Let's weigh in on one thing with J.J. Redick. This stat floored me. And I believe, you said he's 34 years old, and I believe 12, maybe 13 seasons in the NBA. Doesn't matter what the number is. However long the cat's been in the NBA, he's made the playoffs every single season. J.J. Redick has never failed to make the playoffs.
Yep.
That is a winner that you're putting on your roster. And there are a lot of people projecting, hey, he's going to be in the starting five. Hey, he'll come off the bench. Who cares? I learned a long time ago, it's not about the starting five. Yep. It's about the optimal five, the most often five, and especially the finishing five. Let me promise you, J.J. Redick will be in the finishing five. I don't have a doubt about that in my mind. Here's the other thing, and it's funny that I mentioned J.J. Redick when talking about free agent acquisitions maybe 3 or 4 shows ago. And I referenced him by saying, look, I remember when Philly went out and got him, 1-year deal, like 21 mil per. Hey, that's a little too much. I know the Pels have cap space, but they need to be a little more spendthrift than that. Well, look at the deal they got him on. I know he's a few more years longer in the tooth, but less than 13.3 mil per year. You can live with that for a winner, a knockdown shooter. I don't care what his defined role is yet. I just want him to know what that role is and believe in it. And by all indications, he does. Trust me, I'm getting around to my number, but this is too good to pass up. I had it on my radar, and I wanted to make sure that you heard this, because this is fantastic from Scott Kushner of The Advocate. A lot of this I mentioned on my podcast, the Weekly Reboot podcast. Let's fit it into B2BS. Kushner said he spoke with people familiar with J.J. Redick's decision. Money was right, but he had similar offers. Why New Orleans then? According to Kushner, the fit, the relationships, including with lifelong Dookie friend Trajan Langdon, including the opportunity to mentor a high-profile Dookie in Zion Williamson. But how about this? He had a good experience, JJ did, playing under Gentry while a member of the Clippers. Gentry was an assistant. Plus, he admires Drew Holiday's ability and work ethic. These are important things, and that's another reason I think this JJ Redick acquisition is underrated. Still, I'm going to take off my Mardi Gras tinted sunglasses, and I'm going to give this a 6 out of 10 right now. Clint said 7.5 or 8. Why is it a 6 for me? Well, look around the NBA. Some of the franchises that aren't considered the traditional breadwinners, right? The huge hitters, a la the Brooklyn Nets, even the Indiana Pacers had really, really good days yesterday. In some ways, Milwaukee did as well, more short-term than long-term. But here's my point. There are franchises that went out yesterday and acquired Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, D'Angelo Russell, when they didn't have those types of players. Make no mistake about it, the Pels are getting good deals at areas of need, but they aren't splashing in free agency just yet, not to the level of some of these. And that's why when I read several reports earlier today, kind of nationwide looks, winners, losers from day one of the NBA free agency, the Pels were nowhere to be found in either. That's the point I'm making to you. They didn't splash on anybody yet, but they also didn't lose any ground. All they are is young and lean and fierce, but with some old heads to lead them. Drew Holiday, now along with J.J. Redick. And so here's my caveat. My answer to the question today is 6. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to tell you 6, comma, but with potential for a lot more because of cap space left. And if some of the latest numbers I've seen are to believed, Pels, I believe, have about 27 mil left on the cap. Thank you, Solomon Hill. And thank you, David Griffin, for excommunicating him from the Pels roster and getting rid of that albatross of a deal. So what I'm telling you is they're still following the model. They've still got time to bolster this roster. Will it happen before this season? Don't know. Will it happen in the midst of the season? If people see that, whoa, hey man, 30 or 40 games in, the Pels are kind of cooking a little bit. These young cats look good. Are you going to track somebody to help make a playoff run and then maybe stick around for a few years? I bet you can. And even if it doesn't happen in the middle of next year, you can bet your bottom dollar it'll happen next offseason. So will it happen now, 7 months from now, or 12 months from now? I can't tell you. But I can tell you, for all the reasons I did my podcast this morning, NOLA basketball suddenly becoming a destination city, and yeah, it is. It is going to happen. The Pels are going to get one of those big dogs. And then we'll be talking about a 10 out of 10. Then we'll be talking young cats, some older heads that play their role, and another big gun to go with Drew and Zion. I'm telling you, everything that continues to happen should make Pels fans all the more excited. So I'm giving you a 6 out of 10 today. But yeah, kind of like somebody with a birthday, right? With room to grow. All right, we're taking our final break of hour number one. When we return, let's take that first call of the day. 706-0111. Plus, news on the LSU football front. They've hired a coaching legend. I'll tell you all about it when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben and Clint bringing you home on your Monday, July 1 on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back at it. More B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open this segment and to begin hour number two. Our next scheduled guest, just about 25 minutes from this moment, Ruff and Roderick at 5:15. You want to weigh in? We got time. 706-0111. And a reminder, tomorrow, I like a Tuesday remote, baby. We're getting back out on the road. Even more than a Tuesday remote, I like being places where there is spectacular food and great options. Yes, B2BS tomorrow, 4 until 7 at Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's in Lafayette. Clint will explain that here in a moment. Yes, it's the Pont de Mouton exit, exit 1C on I-49. I went out to support RP3 and Company this morning just to see what was up with Ray. And then, of course, selfishly, to buy Boudin because I'm not an idiot. And so I was there this morning at about 7:40 a.m. Place was slammed, man. But they're churning them in and out. They got their operation ready to go. I will tell you that the drive-thru is not ready just yet. Everything else is. The place is spectacular. Again, Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's has moved off Pont de Mouton exit of I-49, and they're right there sharing a space with Exxon on the Run. That Exxon on the Run's got a pizza inn. They're serving up pizza all day and night long. It's a beautiful thing. Now that I promoted the remote, we'll be there from 4 to 7. Let's have a little fun. Shall we, Clint?
Yeah.
We can all do this. You know, we're amongst friends that are listening, yep. I think. We all live in Acadiana, unless you're streaming from outside of the Hub City in our 8 or 9 parish DMA. Yes, you've heard our promos, and yes, we say we're welcoming Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's, already with locations in Scott and Krotz Springs and Opelousas. We say that we're welcoming them to Cairncrow. Our guy Ray gets out there this morning, and I get the text at like 6:30 in the morning. That's, you know, that's how I know it happened. And he said, hey, one of the managers here heard us in the break and wanted to remind me that we are in Lafayette. And I said, really? And I thought about it, and I said, okay, I guess so. And look, full disclosure, while you sniffle on live radio, thank you for that. Full You're disclosure, welcome. As I come in every day to the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, we take exit 4, glorious switch, and we are sure shooting in Cairncrow, by God, Louisiana. And yet, the next exit south, 1C, Lafayette. It's all Lafayette Parish, that much I know as well. People who pay taxes in Cairncrow, okay, they're nodding up down right now. And it's funny because, okay, I have so many connections to Cairncrow because I call the Golden Bears football games. And so I've seen at least 4 or 5 posts on Facebook today, and it cracks me up. People saying they want to call that Lafayette, and it makes me think they were listening to RP3 this morning. Seriously, these posts started coming out like, mid to late morning. People want to call that Lafayette. They say, I'm from Cairncrow. That's Cairncrow to me. All right, Clint. I've only been here since 2015. I'm in surrender cobra position on all this, right? I'm just going to throw my hands up in the air and defer to you. I understand that technically when you get a cartographer and look at a map that it's Lafayette. Do you consider that Cairncrow?
I consider that 110% Cairncrow, Ben, largely because, you know, I understand where everybody's kind of coming from whenever you just think about this, because where I'm from, where my actual place of living, I'm not going to give that out to anybody. I don't want paparazzi or angry listeners coming to the house.
Shouldn't be a concern.
All right. But anyways, like I said, I feel like that's Cairncrow to me, largely because that's how everything's set up with the districts and all
True
that.
True or false? You live off of the Pont de Mouton exit.
No, I do not. That's false.
Okay. All right.
But it's not far off. Let me put it that way. That's like the first thing that I see.
So what you're confirming is that Cairncrow claims that exit in those parts.
Yes, because like I said, it's ridiculous the fact that they're saying that's Lafayette. That is pretty much Cairncrow as Cairncrow can be. I don't care who you are.
So,
I believe the...
You went full Foxworthy.
Yeah.
Never go full Foxworthy. I'll tell you this.
It's never a bad thing.
I'll tell you this. I started putting together my hit list of people to come on the show with me tomorrow. Not people to kill. Not that type of hit list. People to come on live tomorrow. And there's one I'm still waiting on. God, he would be dynamite, but I'm not going to ruin that.
Yeah.
But I do know that my guy Tony Corville is coming on tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Nice. So the head coach of?
The Cairncrow Golden Bears.
Cairncrow High School. So we might get into a little philosophical tete-a-tete.
And you could tomorrow. Probably throw a
me foot. And, me and TC. Hey, TC, are we in Cairncrow right now? Of course, he's going to say, well, yeah, our players come from here. It's Lafayette Parish. All right, well, that's fair. I get that. So I just wanted to bring that to the air because it's been slaying me all day long. Trust me. A lot more on this is coming tomorrow. We're not going to be morons about it. At least we don't think so. But call us up. Let us know. Is that Karen Crow? Or is that Lafayette? Clint, I think that Joel Robideau's on line one. All right, 706-0111. Tell the mayor he's got his own show on Thursdays. But he can always call into this one as well. And so can you. Again, the number 706-0111. I mentioned LSU football is bringing on a coaching legend. Let me spill the beans there. And I read this news. John Robinson, a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, longtime Southern Cal coach, LA Rams coach, joining LSU's football staff as a senior consultant to head coach Ed Orgeron. I read this news, and all I could think of was like Keyshawn Johnson and the Trojans back in the day playing in the Rose Bowl. Yeah, that John Robinson. Of course, he was with Southern Cal a lot earlier than those mid-90s teams. Let me tell you all about it. He served as head coach of the Men of Troy, 76-82, then again 93-97. Led USC to the 1978 national title, 5 Pac-10 championships. Yeah, again, back then when it was the Pac-10, not the Pac-12. And then also led the Rams. They were in Los Angeles then. Yeah, they are again now. He led that franchise to the playoffs 6 times. Made 2 NFC title games. What does it mean all in all? This is kind of what Ed Orgeron likes to do, right? He loved to have Pete Jenkins around. Loved to have, Reynolds around to coach up the, or sorry, Reynolds, listen to me, Jerry Sullivan around to coach up the wideouts. And this is in that same vein. But also, and let's make one thing clear, it's a good point that was made earlier today via social media by Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. These two, Orgeron and Robinson, have been close for years. Robinson's wife is from New Orleans. She's an LSU grad. And Robinson told Bruce Feldman, I've missed being around a team. I'm really excited about this. So, hey, I like it. Robinson, according to LSU's release, will assist Ed O as a consultant to daily planning of practice, personnel, and game planning. Can't see how this can hurt. Just wanted to make sure we relayed it to you. And whether you're listening in Lafayette or Karen Crow or kind of that Bermuda Triangle in between, hopefully that resonated with you. All right, CD, let's get down to one final word this hour.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make 2 chairs turn.
Impressed. And you hear me talk all the time on this show about transitioning through eras on professional sports teams. I love to use the Spurs from Robinson to Duncan, and then especially Duncan Ford as a great example. They continue to remain relevant. I'm impressed with what the Warriors pulled off yesterday, and I'm sure they're not done yet. I know that they're losing KD. I know that they're losing Andre Iguodala. But to recoup a player the caliber of D'Angelo Russell and then do some of the other things that they accomplished, as in maxing out Klay Thompson, I'm impressed with how they stayed very, very relevant, even as they're moving from Oakland to San Fran. Impressed. The final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D coming at you on the first day of July. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, back in on 103.7 The Game. Big show today, and big news just about everywhere when it comes to the NBA. Yesterday, we started to see the veil lifted on all the deals that can begin to finalize and, let's just say, consummate this Friday. Quirky, the way that their timing works. Here's when the free agency period begins. Here's when you can actually close the deals. And there's about a 5.5-day gap but as many moves as the Pelicans have made, there are two players that won't be returning to New Orleans. In fact, both of them are heading to New York. One of them we told you about in hour number one. Let's update the second as we begin hour two, because after all, he's one of the most recognizable Raging Cajun basketball alum of all time. But we mentioned, leading off with Julius Randle, he's agreeing to a three-year, $63 million contract with the New York Knickerbockers. So too, according to the report, CD, is Elfrid Payton and Shams Charania, who's breaking everything these days, The Athletic, as well as Stadium TV. Elfrid Payton allegedly has agreed to a two-year, $16 million deal with the New York Knicks, according to agents Ty Sullivan and Aaron Mintz of CAA Sports, who, of course, have been helping Elfrid Payton along with his deals. What do you make out of that? Because the first thing that leaps to mind for me, it was a statistical career year this past season for Julius Randle. Not a bad year, kind of injury plagued at times for Elfrid Payton, but they're going to be making a lot more money in New York than they were for New Orleans. So you might say one of the things Dell Demps did right in this last free agency period, this time last year, getting these two guys in the boat, relatively speaking, on the cheap.
Yeah, he really did. He got them on the cheap. But, you know, whenever you just think about Elfrid Payton, this is necessarily a knock against him. It's just, you know, you look at the production he's had over the last couple seasons of his career, it seemed like a dip. He wound up getting traded over, I believe, at the deadline to the Suns just before that. So it wound up just being a little bit easier to try and get him on a one-year prove-it type of deal like we've seen in the past with the Saints, some of these contracts that they've done.
And so, he's going to make, like I said, 2 years, $16 million.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that he did a ton of proving, but again, I think the biggest reason why isn't necessarily talent, where his ceiling is. It's injury, at least recently. Elfrid Payton, he played 42 games last year, CD.
And he missed like a good chunk of it, especially in the first half. Second half, he started to come on. If he wound up having a more consistent
triple-double machine post-AD.
Yes, exactly. And that was definitely a big reason. That was a big bright spot towards the end of the season, at least from my point of view, when you look at what the Pelicans did. And I was disappointed to see the news come out, Elfrid Payton joining the Knicks, because it just feels
because they suck?
Exactly. I wasn't going to say the word, but you said it.
Well, I shoot people straight on this show. Yeah. The other thing I should mention, and this is kind of an annex to the report from Shams Charania, also from a reporter of The Athletic. Specifically, I'll give the credit, Michael Scotto, The Athletic New York. He chimed in and says year two of Elfrid Payton's deal with the Knicks is a team option. So again, right back on that prove-it treadmill, CD. Elfrid's in New York. He's going to be playing alongside Julius Randle, Dennis Smith Jr., Kevin Knox, and I don't really know. Okay, Mitchell Robinson, I guess we would throw in there. Yeah. Former Shalmation, played for the Chalmette Owls coming up. Again, that Knicks team is going to be some kind of mediocre to bad. They're not going to be as bad as the Charlotte Hornets, who – believe it or not, usually when you get rid of your best player, we're watching right now the Pels do that successfully. I think we're watching right now the Warriors do that with a decent modicum of success as well. The Hornets should have got rid of Kemba Walker when they still had some control, right? They did the equivalent of the Pels deciding, you know what, we're going to play this first year of the David Griffin era with AD, and then we'll see what happens, and getting diddly-poo, right?
Yep.
Jim Mora Sr. dropped there. That's what MJ and company did in Charlotte. And so not only did they lose Kemba Walker, dude, they're having to pay out the nose for Terry Rozier. That ain't apples to apples, and they're for that. Charlotte is going to be a bottom three team in the league next year, but the Knicks won't be that far off.
Oh, they won't be that far off, and you got to think about it. Whenever you just see what the Charlotte Hornets have done over the last, 48 hours, they did not offer the man a max deal. What are you doing?
They also lost that on Jeremy Lamb, who I think is going to the Pacers.
But I think it's just more damning, the fact, this is a guy that feels like the face of the franchise. You could build it up around him. But no, they're not going to give the dude the max. Now, mind you, the projected max he had of $221 million, it's ridiculous to think that's a projected max. But
they should have seen that coming and done something about it last year.
Exactly.
Yep. it's funny that you use the phrase that you did, Clint, because I think it's perfect. You just said face of the franchise. You were referring to Kemba Walker,
yes,
Charlotte. All right, let's play this game. Who has been the face of the franchise recently for the Golden State Warriors?
Steph Curry.
Not a bad answer. Based on what owner, CEO at least I should say, yeah, of the Warriors, Joe Lacob, released here in the last hour, I would guess again if I were you.
Yeah, I think now that I know what you're kind of getting at,
KD 35?
KD 35.
Dude, this is something serious. I hate reading a paragraph on radio. Wait on the payoff, though, at the end. I didn't see this coming. I don't think anybody did. You saw yesterday, probably the biggest splash move, Kevin Durant agreed to a sign and trade, and he'll be a net for the next 4 years at a contract slightly less than the max. Coming back to Golden State is D'Angelo Russell. There are other moving pieces. In fact, today it's been rumored that the Timberwolves are part of that whole deal, but they won't be getting either Durant or Russell. There's just some considerations, it seems, that are going to Minnesota. But how about this? Statement released within the last hour from Joe Lacob, the architect who really kind of helped turn around the Golden State Warriors. Quote, 3 years ago, we were thrilled with the arrival of Kevin Durant, a transformative NBA player and one of the best to ever play the game. He provided our fans and franchise with numerous highlights during his stay here, two NBA championships, two NBA Finals MVPs, three trips to the final, unparalleled efficiency, and carried himself with class and dignity both on and off the court. His commitment to our community was evident each day, including last season when his philanthropic efforts earned him the NBA's annual Community Assist Award. Today, as he starts a new chapter in his incredible career, we thank KD for all of his contributions. Okay, now's the part where you take a breath, because here's why I'm reading this to you. I didn't see this coming. We thank him for being an integral part to one of the most prolific runs in NBA history and wish him well as he continues his Hall of Fame journey. As long as I am co-chairman of this team, no player will ever wear number 35 for the Warriors again. Dude, they retired the guy's number. He was there for 3 years. I'm not saying it's out of the realm of thought and possibility. He came to you after everyone wondered if he'd be a career Oklahoma City player. I know he started in Seattle, but same franchise. He was not. He left your turnstiles after 3 years. And again, maybe he's doing this as a sign and trade. He's going for less than the max. There's a lot of reasons that they probably have the utmost respect for the man. Clint, they're going to retire the man's jersey after a 3-year stint.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's ridiculous. I mean, thinking about that, like a 3-year deal and now you're getting a jersey retired. I mean, you're not going to see Anthony Davis's jersey retired anytime soon. Well, to be quite honest, let's
be funny.
Real.
You know, and I get the level of respect that they have for the man. I'm not going to say it's ridiculous. I'll let you have your words. I would just say this is wildly surprising. And, you know, here's the other part of it. I know we're throwing shade here in about 20 minutes. Isn't this some decent pre-shade at the Oklahoma City Thunder? No one will ever wear his number again. He's a Warriors legend.
Exactly.
Dude, they won a ship before you got there.
And yep.
You know what? I bet they win another after you leave. But don't touch 35. Golden State. Not in that area. That one is beyond reproach. How about that for an interesting little caveat on a Monday? All right, we got to take a break. When we return, a man who needs no introduction, but he'll get one in about 2 or 3 minutes, Ruffin Rodrigue. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we'll be right back in. Better not wear my number ever again if you lace it up for 103.7 The Game.
Let's go! Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Getting that feeling like I'm back at Rufino's on the River. If only. It was a blast on Friday. But we got the next best thing. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Time to bring back aboard Ruffin Rodrigue. Ruff, how's it been the last, 48 to 50 hours since I've seen you last?
It was a great weekend. Great business at Rufino's on the river, and a lot of fun times. A lot of martinis. A lot of people celebrating this weekend, birthdays and anniversaries. So great times.
There's something we were just discussing. I'll clue you in on it and then get your take. Kevin Durant yesterday decided he's going to be leaving the Golden State Warriors. He's heading to the New Jersey Nets, or excuse me, the Brooklyn Nets. But here's what's interesting. The chairman, Ruffin, of the Warriors said, as long as I'm here, nobody will ever wear his number again. He was there for all of 3 years. Does that strike you as odd?
Yeah, I think he's trying to make friends because he doesn't sue him for what happened with the injury. They're trying to be as nice as can be because I think, according to some of the things I've read online, legally, he may have a case if he's not able to play again. So, I mean, that Achilles is tough, man. You know, that's a hard injury to come back from at that size. You know, with kind of weight going down on it. So, hopefully he can come back and play. But they're trying to be as nice as possible, I promise you.
That's a great, great point that you make. I've torn an Achilles before, and, you know, it's a year. It's a full year. Even if you're a world-class athlete, like you said, with the weight, with that sport, it's no less than 7 or 8 months, I would think.
Yeah, it's tough. I have some friends of mine that had the Achilles tear, and it's just, it stays with them for the rest of their lives. So it's a tough injury.
What is your opinion of Joe Robinson announced today to join LSU's coaching staff? It seems like it kind of falls in line with Pete Jenkins, who's been around the program, Jerry Sullivan as well. Your take on Hall of Famer John Robinson coming to Baton Rouge?
No, great coach. That's another feather. That's the big thing right now, Ben. It's when Nick has started with all the coaching moves he did with the analyst coaches, and you got a lot of skilled coaches sitting in the back rooms right now, trying to figure out that one little weakness that they can figure out for games. And Coach Ogeron was very expressive about it in the last year when he started. He brought the guy from the Cajuns in off of a HUD staff, offensive coordinator, and a couple other guys, because Alabama was, when LSU went down there to play them 2 years ago, we had a chance of winning, but there was a couple of things here and there that they had heard about these analyst guys that had caught hints on and different things to where it hurt their game plan. So it's amazing how big it is to have that many guys constantly working on a game plan for one night. And that's what you get when you get a coach like this.
It's a good
Coach
point.
Robinson.
It's a really good point, Ruffin, you make. George Munoz, the one that went from Lafayette to LSU. We continue our chat with Ruffin Rodriguez on 103.7 The Game. How much do you think that this helps the kids, or is it really just, like you said, blueprinting for practice, blueprinting for games?
Man, it's look, from an offensive lineman especially, a former offensive lineman and myself, I was one of the guys that I was a football junkie, so I was always, studying film, and I had to help my left tackle, who wasn't a football junkie, but he was so talented. He was first round pick, late or early second, I think, first pick of the second round draft. Ralph Noah was at the time, and I had to tell him every play what to do, basically. And so, as an offensive lineman, you can see so much, especially when you have somebody over you. So you need as much insight as you can to know the calls. Where these guys are going to be when you make the calls. And that's the thing, Ben. We get one guy has a missed assignment on the offensive line that plays a negative play. It's amazing. It's a game of inches, what they say, and it truly is. And defensively, you want to, offenses today are so, especially with the new rules and tackling and all that with the head, you got to be careful in so many different levels. And you got to know with all the spread offense stuff and the athletes, you have a quarterback today that can run it, tuck it and run it. is crazy. You know, I grew up in a time where quarterbacks would drop back, basically, and they couldn't really run that much. But now you got guys, ever since Michael Vick, you know, blew up, these guys run 4.3 40s. So how do you get tendencies? You get these coaches in to find tendencies and weaknesses to stop these guys. It's, you know, that's how you win.
Transition back over to basketball, Ruffin. The Pels, excuse me, not the Pels, but former LSU Tiger Garrett Temple is going to be making his residence with those Brooklyn Nets. I'm curious. I always hear about the football guys. Even you tell us about the baseball guys who come into the restaurant, whether it's Garrett, his older brother, CT3, Collis Temple Jr. I'm sure they've been in and out of the restaurant a score of times, at least in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, the Temples are legendary in Baton Rouge with Collis Jr. obviously playing, you know, being with his skills and what he's done with the summer leagues and with you know, basketball players. With, I think the when Big Baby was at LSU and Collis was there, and you had all those. I mean, you had some incredible talent. You had the one kid that went, you know, top three picks or whatever. It was just he developed all those kids himself, and then you got two class acts and his sons. Collis and Garrett, and Garrett's just it's not even a head scratcher anymore, because at first people were just like, you would never predict that would be the kid that would have the longest NBA career out of all those players.
You but know, it's funny you said that, because I'm going to read you a stat, and I'll give credit to some guy named Matt Moscone in Baton Rouge, but he's the one who came out with this, Ruffin. There are only five guys in the history of LSU's program that have gone on to double-digit year careers in the NBA. Shaq played 19 years, Brandon Bass 12 years, Maravich 11, Pettit 11, Livingston 10. So, excuse me, Garrett Temple is now the sixth, and that's ever.
Wow. And you never, and Randy Livingston, you would never have thought that with his injury and the way he had his, you know, his college career shortened, you would never thought he would have played. So, but he's Randy was one of those gritty, gutsy guys that could play defense, and that's what Garrett Temple has always prided himself on. And he's a game stopper. He's a guy that you put your, you know, you put him in, and you put him against the best player on the other team, and he'll shut him down. That's what he's always done. That's why he's making the big bucks.
Ruffin, it's great to catch up. I know we had a lot of fun Friday. I've gotten a good bit of reaction, especially the interview with Dr. Brian Maggard. That was a good time. We'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah, man, it's a great time, and prayers for Coach Robichaux, and what he's going through. I haven't heard the latest or anything, but hopefully he can, and his family, you know, pray for his family.
I can tell you, and I'll make sure to remind our listeners that are maybe just getting the vehicle, it was announced maybe 2 hours ago by the Cajuns, Ruffin. Tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. at the baseball field, Teague Moorfield at Russo Park, they're going to have a gathering of people that are going to get together and pray. And, again, it's friends, family, it's everybody welcome. So the community will continue to rally.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to try to make that. Absolutely.
All right, man.
He's a great man.
He is. And, again, we appreciate everything that you do for the show and what you do for the community. Thanks, Ruffin.
Absolutely, my man. Have a good day.
You too. Ruffin Roderick, owner of Rufino's on the River. A lot of conversation in the breaks of that show we did Friday where – you know, Ruffin was just expressing a ton of concern. And that's, I mean, frankly, from the moment we got off the air with Dr. Brian Maggard until the Cajuns AD had to leave and go to the event that he was helping to put on and host at Evangeline Downs. That's all we talked about. And when I go places, probably you too, as you're listening right now through at Acadiana, probably the same for you. When you get to work, probably what a lot of people continue to talk about. And so grateful that the Cajuns Athletic Department continues to put out, even though they're short, grateful that the updates continue to come, and certainly as we know more, we will share it with you. All right, we'll take a quick break halfway through hour number two. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Yeah, we'll switch gears. We'll keep it a little more lighthearted. Today marks a really interesting occasion. I'll throw a shade toward it when we return. It's B2BS, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. We'll be right back. As we return, a needed shout-out to a local hero, one of our friends here in the program, Mondo Duplantis. Let me tell you about it, and then the shade, it's on deck. Bumper to Bumper Sports, we're at the plate, back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D, and we've got about 30 minutes of open space for you. James Buers joins the program at straight up 6 o'clock. Between now and then, get your calls in. 706-0111. Back to a former Lafayette High Mighty Lion and a one-year shooting star for the LSU Tigers and Coach Dennis Shaver. Mondo Duplantis yesterday picked up his first professional win in, of course, his first professional event. And technically, it was a Diamond League win in the pole vault. He cleared 19 feet, 5.5 inches. Incredible. You want the meters because, well, if you've listened to him on this show, that's what Mondo says he does. I go meters first, then if I am forced to, I'll convert into you non-metric system people's way of thinking. 5.93 meters. This was at the Prefontaine Classic at Cobb Track and Angel Field on the campus of Stanford. It's amazing. I mean, seriously, what he continues to do blows my mind. Mondo's season best while he was at LSU was 19 feet, 8 and a quarter inches, which is 6 meters. So he was 7/100ths of a meter off of his best while at LSU. That came in mid-May during the SEC Championships, which, by the way, is still the world lead for 2019. I do believe that's significant. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Keith, welcome into the show. You want to talk some NBA? We're game.
Hey, brother. Yeah, man. Hate to flip the script on you like that, but I've been wanting to ask you about the Pelicans there. I saw they made some moves today, getting J.J. Redick, also a center named Favors. I was wondering if you knew much about those players or what's your expectations or where do you see the Pelicans going this year with the moves they made, man?
They're going to be
I'll hang up.
I'll tell you this right away, Keith. You know I appreciate that call. You can always flip the script on me with a question like that. They're going nothing but up. And they're changing my mind slowly but surely on how relevant they can be right away. J.J. Redick at 34 years of age, well, the guy's my age, right? So, I mean, you know, for me, the way I look at it, certainly the twilight of his career, but still, the guy shot, and I don't have it in front of me, so excuse me, but I believe he was, and Clint, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, I think he was 43-plus percent from three last season?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And like 39% shooting from the field ain't half bad.
No, that's not good. 39% from two is very, very bad, in fact.
Okay.
But 43% plus from downtown. I'll let you go to Basketball Reference and study up because I'm thinking that 39 number ain't right. But I'll let you tell me what it is. But 43-plus from three? Pels don't have a lot of guys like that. Niko Mirotić helped fill that role, albeit from a different position. Don't know if it'll be from a starting role or coming off the bench. Don't think it particularly matters. J.J. Redick's going to fill a very needed role on the floor and off. Keith, we mentioned this earlier in the program. It's a great stat, great factoid, really, that's floating around. J.J. Redick has made the playoff every year since he's been in the NBA coming out of Duke.
Yeah, I had it flipped over. It was 39.7% from three-point range, 44% from the field.
I'm a little shocked he was below 40% from deep.
Yeah.
All right, but good to know.
But I mean, yeah.
So now we've got our facts straight, and that's at least marginally important in 2019. J.J. Redick is a great pickup, but let's not confuse it. It's not going out and getting Kevin Durant, Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler, D'Angelo Russell, some of the players that were trading places. But as I said in the 4 o'clock hour, Keith, here's the thing. Last number I saw, if I'm not mistaken, Pels still have about $27 million left in cap space. So they go out and get Redick. And I've already told you why he fits in, how he fits in. Derek Favors was a former number 3 overall pick. Guy spent a year at Georgia Tech, was a very good player for the Utah Jazz for a while. But here's the stone cold fact. They got better in Utah. They didn't ask him to do as much once Rudy Gobert was around, right? I mean, that team has gotten nothing but better, especially since the Spider-Man, what's his name? I could see his face right now. Mitchell has gotten there. Kid that came out of Louisville. LSU had a shot at him for a while. They called him the Spider-Man. And, of course, I'm going to blank on his first name, but he's fantastic. Finished his second year last year. They're just a better team. So they asked Favors to do a lot less, and I think he was about a 12-8 type of player.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, that's him. I've heard of him, too.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, really good player. So Favors will fit in well in that he'll do a lot of the things that Zion Williamson doesn't maybe naturally do. So I'm excited to answer the question, Keith. I think they've done some good things. I don't think they're done moving their assets, bringing in hopefully maybe one more big gun. But my gut tells me that they're floating upward to being a team that can legitimately compete next year for a 7 or 8 spot in the Western Conference. For year one, I'll take that. Beyond year one, hold on to the bar in front of you on this roller coaster ride because it's going to be a lot of fun. They are going to sky in the years to come. Let's take another. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Matt, thank you for waiting. What you got for us?
Hey, Ben. Just want to say I love your show. Listen all the time. I happened to meet you and your lovely wife at the tap room two or three times, I think, with Talks of Sports.
Absolutely.
I want to say this about the Pelicans, and I might be throwing a little bit of shade at your previous caller, but we're going to see a lot of bandwagon fans joining, a lot of people that don't even know that much about the NBA, the players coming in, leaving, that sort of thing. And I just want to say to everybody that we're going to take all takers. I've been a Pelicans and Hornets fan for years and years, and everybody join on board because we need all the support we can. We need to be able to keep Zion Williamson throughout his entire career. We need to create a new brand of basketball because I'm a bartender in town. And there's sometimes where, you know, last year during the playoffs, they had people that didn't even know that New Orleans had a basketball team until we had made the playoffs. And that's just pitiful.
Agreed.
You know? So I just wanted to make that announcement to everybody. I think that I'm really excited about all the new signings that they've made. I'm really interested to see what they're going to do because now we have actually quite a crowded backcourt, a lot of guards, a lot of guys that might try to play on the wing, but a lot of wing talent as well, which is something they haven't been able to say in years. So overall, I am just super, super excited, man. I am more excited for this season than I am even for the next year's Saints season or LSU season, which is something that, you know, I'm not sure I've ever been able to actually say.
That's impressive.
Thanks for taking my call, man. And I just want to give a little shout-out. Like I said, I bartend in town. I'm at Carrabba's in Lafayette. Y'all come see me, and we'll talk some sports.
Matt, you're the man. You're the man, Matt. And I do remember. Yes, my wife Jen and I have talked some shop. Not as much my wife. Maybe me. And then Jen's around. But I do recall several times over meeting Matt. How about that? His phrase, we're taking all takers. Hey, man, there's room on the bandwagon. No doubt about it. There are times when you will hear me shout from the top of a mountain. Bandwagoners at times can disgust me because it depends, right? If you don't live in the state and you used to love Michael, then you love Kobe, now you love LeBron. Yeah, I'm not about you. I don't like that type of bandwagoner. I don't like that type of front runner. But to Matt's point, if you've hit the snooze button several times over on the Hornets/Pelicans franchise, yeah, you can wake up. Yeah, you can come on board now. Flock up, as they say. Matt, well done, my man. Tell you what, we're going to take one more call. We'll hit a break. I'll throw shade in our final segment of today's hour. The good folks at Patio Center, they're looking at their watch and they're tapping it. They know it's their time. Trust me, I got shade today, and I'll just let the cat out of the bag a little bit so you can at least dream somewhat during the short commercial break that's coming. It's Bobby Bonilla Day, people! Yeah, we'll celebrate that to end hour number two. But right now, let's get back to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Mike is with us. Mike, you want to talk KD. Go.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask you a question. I just want your opinion of it and see what you feel. If you were the owner of any of these teams and you was after KD, knowing his injuries, and even though the doctor released him, knowing that he would never, ever be 100%, would you be able to pay that kind of money for him? That's just a little curious question I want to ask you about it.
It's a great
question. Please answer that, and I'm out of here.
It's a truly great question. No. Seriously. I want you to think about it this way. especially if I'm trying to rebuild, and certainly the Brooklyn Nets are doing that. No. I don't have time for you to miss an entire year and me to pay you for that. No. If I am a serious challenger and I get you on a cheapo depot deal, maybe. But in most cases, again, I will say it, no. Will I regret that in 17 months when he's getting ready and getting closer to suiting up for, what, the 2020-2021 season? Yeah, I guess I might. I don't think you can afford to wait for the future in the NBA. And that's the beauty. We were talking about that with Keith and with Matt. That's the beauty of what the Pelicans are doing. Everyone and their brother and their mother could see that the Pels are going to be something in the future. Something to contend with. But they're finding a way to be relevant now. And they're not breaking the bank. Yeah, you got to break the bank to go out and get Kevin Durant. I know that it's slightly worth less than the max, Durant's four-year deal. I mean, what are we splitting hairs here? I mean, slightly less than like $40 million a year? Come on now. And they're having to pay out of the wazoo to go get Kyrie Irving? No, Mike. I mean, me personally, that's not the direction I want to go. I want to try and compete right away, get a little leaner financially, and then if I'm spending big bucks, my guy's playing this year. But what's interesting, and what could come into play, look, I'm no lawyer. I always have to give that disclaimer on the show, CD. Didn't stay at Holiday Inn. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a doctor. Not any of those things. But I do wonder. It's a great point that Ruffin Rodriguez made. And I know that there's a thread out there suggesting Kevin Durant could have a billion-dollar caliber lawsuit against the Warriors. Where I get sideways with that, if I remember right, didn't he seek a second opinion on whether or not he was able to play in, what was it, Game 5 of the NBA Finals? I think he seeked a second opinion. I mean, come on, that wasn't a team, Doc. So again, could he be receiving some considerable cash flow that offsets some of what the Nets may have to pay him? Yeah, I don't know. That's above my pay grade. But Mike, my general answer to your question is no. I would pay for Klay Thompson. I would do what the Warriors have done today. And if I were a competing team, I would have paid big time for Klay Thompson. I could get him back with 30, 40 games to spare next year. I'll take a chance on a guy with the ACL. I'm not playing that game with somebody who tore his Achilles in Game 5 of the Finals. He's missing all of next year, period, end of discussion. It's a good question for Mike. All right, we got to hit a break. When we return, hey, Patio Center, we got your back. We're going to let the people know exactly what you do, and then we're throwing shade on your behalf. Yeah, that's coming next. Bobby Bonilla Day. Might as well throw your hands up in the air. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Raymond Parsh III here, host of RP3 and Company, right here on KDN Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Reminding you to tune in Tuesday from 6 to 9.
Live on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Yeah, and not a little bit of money either. I mean, I'm talking about some legit mailbox money. Your postal worker that comes to your house or business would be pissed if he had to deliver this type of jack to you. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Before I explain, let me educate. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. Pretty darn valuable in 2019. You can also trust management to sit down with you, gauge your needs, and then help you create and fulfill a vision before 2020, maybe even before this football season, but only if you really hurry to the website, PatioCenter.com, the kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
It is Bobby Bonilla Day. In fact, every 1st of July from 2011 through 2035 is Bobby Bonilla Day. What exactly does that mean? It means that today, the Mets organization shelled out just south of $1.12 million to Bobby Bonilla, who hasn't played for the franchise in a hot minute. But this is amazing. Consider everything I'm about to tell you. This is the ninth installment of $1.12 million a year distributed on July 1st. So far, the New York Mets organization has paid Bonilla $10 million in total for deferring his 2000 salary. You heard me right. His year 2000 salary. It's 2019, by the way. They've paid him 10 mil for deferring that year's salary of $5.9 million. How does that happen? I'll tell you how. With 8% interest. And, as I told you, this goes through 2035. The Mets have 16 payments remaining. And so no matter what you did today, and you may have one hell of a business, doesn't matter what you did today. Bobby Bonilla didn't have to do a damn thing. $1.12 million. Just sitting back, collecting checks, the ultimate mailbox money. And the ultimate reminder that the New York Mets organization only are rivaled by the New York Knicks organization. You don't really want a part of either of them.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PetioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
What do you make out of that, Bobby Bonilla?
Bobby Bonilla making that kind of money is just ridiculous. And at the same time, it's amazing. Like, we're talking about, you're talking about an inept organization. I think the New York Mets will still to this day be probably one of the worst run organizations in all of baseball. And add the fact that over the weekend, they want to have an even worse of a situation because they were honoring the 1969 Mets over the weekend because it's the 50th anniversary of them winning the World Series. Well, turns out they did like an in memoriam for a lot of the former players.
Right.
And two of those players are still alive.
Oh, God, yeah. I hadn't seen that.
Yes.
Oh, so that's painful. Hold on.
Yeah.
Key question here. Okay. It's bad enough as it is. Were they alive and also at the ballpark?
I can't confirm that.
Could you imagine seeing on the Jumbotron that you're dead and you're there just doing the Miss America wave to people like from just like the third baseline?
Yeah. Like, you can about imagine just the amount of awkwardness. Like, it would be palpable in the air. Like, honestly, it's like in memoriam, like so-and-so. And it's like, he's actually right there. You just introduced him like 2 minutes ago.
Let's hope that person was actually just like at his house in Yonkers and watching the game on TV. Still mortified.
Probably.
Still mortified, but also still not dead.
Yes.
So that's an important distinction. Bobby Bonilla Day. And, you know, when I read this and it came across my timeline today, I did take it to a local level. And I thought to myself, just don't let the Saints end up doing this with Drew Brees. Now, I don't believe they will, but they will be paying out the nose of that man probably for the first 2 to 3 years that he's no longer a New Orleans Saint. I think that that's a reasonable expectation with some of these deferred payments.
Yeah.
Brees keeps taking what is fairly being described as a hometown discount, but again, he's pushing some of that money, just kind of kicking the can down the road a little bit. He'll take some of that money while also making like walk-ons money and
Jimmy John's
money, whatever the hell else he's into, like
exactly.
Krispy Kreme money. I don't know. So it makes me laugh when people say Drew Brees is going to be a politician after he's done. No, he's not. He's going to be the most savvy businessman you know is what he's going to be.
Exactly.
But, you know, Bobby Bonilla got his slice of the pie based off deferring from the year Y2K. I want you to consider that. Probably about 8 months before Bobby Bonilla's agent arranged this master deal, people around the world thought we were going to die because of computer systems and Y2K.
Yeah.
That's how long ago this was. We're going to bring our inside voices. We're going to bring our outside voices back. That's what we'll do. James Buers. To begin hour number three, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
We need interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll. Our third and final hour of Bumper to Bumper Sports as we help you kick off July on 1037 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And we're taking you home for the next hour inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. You know, on this program, we try to put a premium on high school sports coverage in particular this time of year, getting you excited about high school football. Our next guest, hey, he's even better at it, more fanatical about it than we are. Let's go find him. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, our pleasure to bring back on James Buers, now doing a great job with the Acadiana Advocate. How are you, James?
I'm doing well, Ben. How are you doing, man?
Hey, life is good here. Does it feel like football season to you yet, or am I jumping the gun just a little bit?
Oh, no. I mean, I've been locked into the NBA free agency stuff, so it's kind of hard for me to quite get into football mode on top of the fact that I'm taking off this week from work. But I'm happy to jump on with you and talk about it. I've already done a little bit of some stories on certain teams in the area and some players. So I feel like I'm in good shape to talk about some things involving Acadiana prep football.
Doing an interview on a week off. My man is a straight-up beast. All right, let's get right down to it. I want you to give our listeners, James, three seniors to watch out for during this 2019 season, but I'm going to put an arm behind your back. No Caleb Holstein, who, by the way, earlier today on Monday committed to Harvard after a visit up to the Ivy League school in Boston. We know he's really good. We know that, you know, for example, Kayshawn Boutte out of Westgate is really good. So don't give us some of those guys that we all know, household guys, but give us three to watch out for, maybe outside of guys like that.
Well, hopefully I'm not cheating with this, because the three guys I'm going to name are all committed to colleges. So they're not exactly unknowns or you know, under the radar guys, so to speak. But there are some guys that have, you know, you don't want to forget about, because they are really talented and are key players and maybe aren't the guys who get all the hype and, you know, accolades like some of these other guys, like you mentioned, Holstein and Boutte. But the first guy I want to go with is Dylan Monette from Acadiana High. You know, it's kind of amazing. You know, Dylan's been starting since he was a freshman, and he's on pace to potentially set the Acadiana High rushing record. And keep in mind, this guy's only about 5'6", 5'7", 165, 170 pounds. He's a little back, but I think he's a lot stronger than people expect. And he's very fast. He's 4'4", 4'3", guy. And he committed to Army along with his teammate and backfield mate, Lucky Brooks, earlier this year. And what a great place for a team that runs the veer for two tailbacks to go to college. You know, Army, they run the triple option. So I just think it's a perfect setup. You know, and I think with Acadiana, it's okay to have smaller backs because of the way their offense is designed. You know, it's a quick hitting offense, and they use tight windows to get through. And when you have kind of a smaller guy, he can squirt through those holes. And, you know, next thing you know, he's 5, 6, 7 yards down the field, and, you know, they're picking up chunk plays every time. So I think he's a great piece of their offense. He struggled with some injuries last year, especially the latter half of the season. But I think when he's healthy, he can be a really talented running back for that offense. Number two, Errol Rogers, who just committed to UL. I think this is a really nice pickup for Billy Napier and his staff. You know, Errol has had kind of an interesting career at LCA. He, you know, when he was a sophomore, he played quarterback in the latter half of the season because Zach Claymon went down with that knee injury. Well, he helped them get to the state championship as the quarterback for the Knights. Then last year, when Zach was healthy again, he jumped back to wide receiver, and he had a good year. He caught about 25 balls scored 9 touchdowns. And keep in mind, LCA was winning so many games by blowout that he wasn't playing in a lot of second half. So maybe his numbers aren't as good as some players would be. But it looks like he might go back to quarterback this year because Zach has moved on to Northwestern State. But clearly his future, you know, on the college level is either at receiver or defensive back. And, you know, just to give you an indication of what kind of receiver he is, he went to that LSU elite camp recently and went up against some of the better cornerbacks in the country, not just in the state. You know, talk about guys like Elias Ricks, who's from California, committed to LSU, Major Burns from Madison Prep, committed to LSU, Jamie Vance from Carr, committed to Arkansas, and he did extremely well. You know, I don't want to say he dominated, but he won several reps, and I think, I mean, he impressed his dad, Aaron Rodgers Sr. Aaron Rodgers Sr. was telling me that, you know, he was kind of, you know, is jaw-dropped with some of the things he was able to do out on that field, especially against elite competition. So Arrow's a very talented player, and I think he's going to do well for them at quarterback. He might not be a natural quarterback, but he's such a gifted athlete that I think he's going to be able to move the ball for them in some respects and get it to the talent they have at other places. And then the final guy I want to mention from St. Thomas More, another St. Thomas More kid, Luke Howard, their tight end, who's committed to McNeese State. You know, what's interesting about Luke is, he was actually one of the first guys the new McNeese coach, Sterling Gilbert, targeted when he came over from South Florida, which says something. You know, they're targeting a tight end as one of their top guys in their recruiting class. That says a lot about what kind of player Luke is. And, you know, from talking to Shane Savoy, he says that, you know, that Luke is probably the best combination of a run-pass tight end that they've had in the last 15 years. He blocks really well, and he's a threat for them in the passing game. So I think he's going to be big for them. SDM loses a lot of production at the receiver position. Guys like Grant Arsenault, who set the state championship game catch record, I believe it was. Deion Senegal, who's moved on to college. I think he went to Arkansas Tech. Another kid, Dalen Cambry, who I think walked on at UL. He was another kid who caught a lot of balls for them. And Luke is their leading returning receiver. So he's going to be big for them in the passing game, and also he's going to be big for them, you know, just blocking as well, because they only return one starting lineman from last year. So Luke is going to play a pivotal role in what the STM offense does. And then they're going to try to replicate those numbers that they put up last year, which is kind of going to be hard to do, but they'll certainly shoot for it.
Great stuff. And we always get it from James Buers with the Acadiana Advocate, throwing a blanket over prep sports coverage. I'll react briefly, and I agree with all three. Luke Howard in for a huge year, and they're going to have some players that step up at some of those receiver positions where you mentioned they're a little depleted. I think Jack Besh is in for very big things, just for example.
Yeah.
Errol Rogers Jr., I completely agree with you, multi-sport standout. Here's what I'll say about Dylan Monette. When you're poised to become the leading rusher at Acadiana, a place where Charles Scott has come through, even in more recent years, Ziggy Francis has come through. I know I'm leaving off a score of guys that have been beast mode running backs. That says an awful lot. So very impressive what Dylan Monette is on the cusp of doing. James, only one more question. But again, it involves kind of a trio of not players this time, but teams. So it'll give you a chance to run with the baton a little bit. I'm going to ask you this question about all three of these programs. Can they live up to the high bar that they admittedly set for themselves with success last year? Two out of these three won state titles. The other was just dynamite for most of the season. I'm going to throw at you Eunice from Class 3A, LCA moving up in classification, no Trev Falk this year on the sideline, and then St. Martinville, who was, again, just phenomenal for almost all of its season, certainly the regular season.
Yeah, you know, starting with Eunice, it'll be interesting because, you know, I did a story on Eunice earlier this summer, just kind of, you know, touching base on, you know, how their spring practices went and what their mindset is going into the season. And, you know, going into it, I was thinking that Eunice had a lot coming back from last year because some of their key guys from last year, especially on the offensive side of the ball, were sophomores. You know, you talk about their quarterback, his name is slipping my mind at the time, Simeon Arduin, and their tailbacks, Deion Arduin and Joel Hill, all those guys were sophomores. So, but then you keep looking, and defensively, they're actually having to replace a lot. A guy like Avery Lee, who was the defensive player of the year in Class 3A, he's gone. Carlin Viggers, another All-State guy, he's gone. Tyler Darbone, who played both sides of the ball for them, was an All-State honorable mention at tight end. He's gone. So they have a lot of key guys to replace, but still, you know, that when you have, you know, especially at the quarterback position, when you have a young guy running the show and he was so good for you the year before, you only imagine he's going to get better. So I think Judas is going to be very good. I don't know if they're going to have another year like they did last year. 3A is so wide open on a yearly basis. It seems like a new team or new teams are in the state championship game every year. And one of them I'm about to talk about, St. Martinville, is moving down in class. So I think Judas is going to be very good and certainly have a chance to get a high seed in the playoffs and push for a deep playoff run. You mentioned LCA. You know, there's still a lot of uncertainty with them overall, with their coaching situation. I still, to be frank, don't know the outcome of the appeal hearing that happened recently and what's going to transpire if Trev Falk has a chance of coaching this year or what the deal is of that. But the bigger thing with LCA is they're moving up in class. They're going from 1A to 2A, and they're going to be competing in Notre Dame's district. So theoretically, they might not even be the best team in their own district. And then when you get into the playoffs, you're competing with teams like Notre Dame, like Catholic New Iberia, like Country Day, like Newman. So the level of competition certainly increases for LCA, but you know LCA's got the talent. I mean, sure. You talked about Errol Rogers. Sage Ryan is probably one of the better prospects in the state for the class of 2021. They got a kid, Fitzgerald West, an offensive lineman who's, I think, getting recruited by some SEC schools. I mean, the list goes on. They've got talent across the board, and maybe as much talent as any team in that classification. So we'll see what happens with LCA, but they're certainly an intriguing team. And then finally, St. Martinville, you know, they went undefeated last year. You know, I think it was the first time in school history they had ever gone undefeated, or maybe the first time since the 90s. It slips my mind. But, you know, they're moving up to 3A this year, or moving down to 3A this year, which I think theoretically is going to help them in the long run, because when you're in 4A having to compete with the Cars and the Warren Eastons of the world, and St. Martinville, as it was already a 3A size school, I think it starts to catch up with you the deeper you get into the playoffs, because you're playing teams that are simply just deeper than you, have more kids. So I think St. Martinville is going to benefit from that in the long run. Now, this upcoming year, they're losing Travian Benjamin, who was terrific for them this past year. He's now at Southern, I believe. You know, was an All-State kid. I think, you know, was close to, if not leading the area last year in rushing. He's going to be really hard to replace. And then their quarterback, Markaven Williams, he's gone as well. And I think quietly he did a lot for their offense. They probably didn't get enough, you know, publicity for what he did. But, you know, we'll see with St. Martinville. You know, I think the world of Vincent Duran. I think he's a terrific coach. He's been a winner everywhere he's been. And finally he got St. Martinville back to where they once were, back in the glory days of St. Martinville. So it might not be this year where they're competing for state championships, but 2 and 3 and 4 years down the line, they might be in the thick of things in 3A.
I think you and I just took everybody into the DeLorean, right? We didn't go to the past, but we're taking them to the future. It's the 1st of July, James, but it feels like late August with that conversation we just had. That's beautiful.
Well, I appreciate it, Ben. I try my best, certainly, with touching all the bases this early in the year.
And on a week off, how are you sober? All right, no. In all seriousness, you know, I appreciate the time. Go back to whatever it is that is actually fun. But I did enjoy this. I want you to know that.
I enjoyed it too, Ben. Anytime, man.
That's our guy, James Buers, with the Acadiana Advocate. On a day off. That is rich. Hey, before we hit a break, a reminder, tomorrow B2BS will be on the road, but not far away. We'll be in Upper Lafayette. Certainly not Karen Crow. Don't call it Karen Crow. We're going where the good stuff is. Billy's, Boudin, and Cracklin's. Today, it's not a grand opening, but today was kind of like Major League Baseball's opening day for Billy's Boudin off the Pont de Mouton exit. It's exit 1C off I-49. And we'll be there tomorrow, 4 until 7. Already confirmed in person, Karen Crow, head coach Tony Corville, will be with us at straight up 6 o'clock. A couple other tricks up my sleeve that I'm finalizing, and I won't jinx them. But come out, see me tomorrow on your way back from work. Get some of the best flavor you'll find anywhere in the state of Louisiana. Certainly the best boudin in Acadiana was just voted the tops in the best of voting. Yeah, you need to come out and see us tomorrow, 4 to 7 p.m. I'll have some station swag as well. All right, we're coming right back in. We can take your phone calls when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game.
Frank.
Let's go, people.
Come on back to me.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Oh man, it's also, you know, it's an honor to be selected and to have it done by some of the players and the coaches around the league. It's, you know, it's a huge honor, and I'm very thankful for it.
There we go. Now they can hear me. That's Ryan Pressly, Houston Astros reliever, really the Stros' eighth inning man, and he's been not quite perfect, but wow, not too far from it, setting the table for Roberto Acuña. Bumper to Bumper Sports. Back in for your 6 o'clock hour on 103.7 The Game. We'll talk a little Astros, get ready for the All-Star Game, and we'll take your phone calls. 706-0111, C.D. Pressly name to the All-Star Game. So were both the numbers 1 and 2 in the rotation. Justin Verlander will not be a surprise, but I'll get you a little bit from J.V. He was asked how much it would mean for him to start the All-Star Game. I'll tell you this, haven't heard this soundbite. Don't care. It'd be a travesty if anyone else in the AL did.
I mean, obviously, that's pretty special. Had the opportunity to do it before. So, it's a pretty unique event. It's a very different feeling. But it was a lot of fun.
I would imagine, respectfully, that the guy's fairly numb to all of these things, right? Winning Cy Youngs, after 2 years ago. Maybe not numb to winning a World Series, but he's done it. And he's married to Kate Upton, so what would it be like to start the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Dude, I just wake up in the morning and piss excellence, and I'm married to Kate Upton. So I'll steal a little Talladega Nights for you there.
The little Ricky Bobby, I like that. The fact he's got a kid is definitely – he's living his best life right now, and it's awesome.
No question. Of more interest to me, at least, is the fact that the Stros number two in line for the starting rotation – was named as an All-Star. I'll get my thoughts here momentarily, but here's Garrett Cole and his thoughts on that selection.
What's really unique about our system is that for the starting pitchers, you have to be voted in by the players, and actually for all pitchers in general. So when you're selected, it's really humbling to know that, you know, the rest of the professional baseball world respects what you do, and I take my vote seriously when I cast them for other starting pitchers, and so it means a lot. It's really special, it's really unique, and very humbled.
Expectations sometimes can be a real son of a you-know-what, a real wet blanket, and that's probably where I'm coming from when I look a little sideways at Garrett Cole being named an All-Star. Astros fans, you can call me, let me have it. 706-0111. Yes, Garrett Cole has won three straight starts, and he's still got at least one left before the All-Star break. My problem with this selection is I think it's mainly a strikeouts-based selection. There, I said it. He is a fantasy All-Star going into the All-Star break, but I'm not sure that. Again, I know that it's based on competition, who else is deserving, who else isn't. CD, based on the bar that was set for Garrett Cole preseason, not by us, but by everybody, I mean, there were a lot of people that thought he was the odds-on favorite. In fact, the Mothership.com selected him as the odds-on favorite to win the AL Cy Young. Not Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole. Based on those expectations, he is very much so bellied under the bar. Fair, unfair, that I'm a little skeptical on Garrett Cole as an All-Star.
Oh, no, I think it's perfectly fair to be skeptical on Garrett Cole as an All-Star, considering the fact that he has kind of underwhelmed. I have to agree with you. It's been largely because of the thing that's definitely affected him a lot when you look back at his time with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Taters,
yes, exactly. A lot of home runs he's allowed, especially as of late. It's definitely kind of turned around a little underwhelming to see what he's done after the last few weeks.
He has been better, as we mentioned. He's won his last three starts. And he certainly has been in position to where it wouldn't be a huge shock if he made the All-Star team, but it's given me at least a little bit of a shock. Let me give you this. Last year, he was an All-Star his first year with the Astros. He finished the season at 15-5. His ERA was 2.88. Right now, Gerrit Cole is 8-5. His ERA is 3.28. So again, we're not talking drastically off the pace, but I think it's the strikeouts. I really do. Because here's where you have to stand up and take notice. CD, last year, Gerrit Cole was unbelievable.
Yeah.
276 strikeouts for the entirety of the regular season. He's just about at the halfway point of this season, right? If you look at his innings pitch, he's almost exactly at the halfway point. Again, numbers on radio aren't always fun. Half of 276 is 138.
Yeah.
He struck out 161 guys so far.
It's been impressive.
He's lighting the world on fire with the K's. But, yeah, the taters, the runs conceded. I don't know. He's borderline all-star to me.
I would agree with you on that statement. He obviously will not be a starter, but I think whenever you just look around the rest of the AL, what other name really sticks out to you? And, again, it's a lot like what we've seen in the past with Cy Young Award winners or MVPs.
You want me to play that game? So Justin Verlander, and this is just completely off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss people, but I would say Justin Verlander. I would say Jake Odorizzi from Minnesota. I would say the kid Tyler Glasnow, who I know is injured, and so maybe there's an issue there with having to sub out for him out of Tampa. I would look around the league and be able to come up with three or four more if I really, really tried. I would say David Price has maybe been a little more consistently quality start guy than even Gerrit Cole. Again, I'm not hating. The K's are phenomenal. If that's what gets you into the All-Star game, then that's cool.
It's a lot like what you're seeing now. I was trying to get at is the fact that you look back at how the MVP votes went for the NFL. I mean, a lot of it had to do with
touchdowns,
those numbers, those stat numbers. I mean, the yardage numbers as well. Let's not act like that wasn't a big part of it.
Counting stats.
Exactly.
Now we're starting to have a conversation, one that we don't have enough time in this segment for.
I think we
counting
have enough time
stats.
In the show.
And look, I share an office up front here at Delta Media every single day with a diehard Detroit baseball Tigers fan who has the authority to fire me for making comments like the one I'm about to make. But I can't tell you how offended I was for a couple straight years when Miggy Cabb was stealing MVPs from a very young Mike Trout. Counting stats, triple crown stats, dude, war, wins above replacement. Miguel Cabrera couldn't move 4 feet to the right or left to field a ground ball. Mike Trout was stealing bags. Mike Trout was in the outfield, one of the best defensive outfielders in the game. Yeah, I just always had problems with that. So, yeah, counting stats versus some of the new age stuff. I don't think some of the new age stuff is going to favor Gerrit Cole this season, except for that spin rate. Yay, velocity. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, just making friends on 103.7 The Game.
Sports Radio Update starts.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Back in, we're still having fun, still bringing you home on this Monday, and still having a lot of entertainment value, if you will. Hopefully, even in education, off the sound that our guy RP3 was able to get late last week down the bayou. We shall explain, and then we shall air out some really cool audio. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in during your 6 o'clock hour on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And yeah, we'll get right back into some of the latest from the Manny Passing Academy, sounds you haven't heard yet in the afternoon into the early evenings. But do not forget, Clint's got an interesting topic coming up in our next segment, which is our final segment. He'll take you under the dome and one MLB team that's destined to fall off the map and maybe even planet Earth in the second half of the season, and one he thinks that is bound to improve. I have a really good idea who he's got pegged. He hasn't showed me his cards. I'm just throwing darts in the dark here, but I have a pretty good idea who he's going to select for his team that will fall back
I'm telling you, I've spent like 4.5 years cooped up with this man. Every afternoon from 4 to 7, I think I know him a little bit. We'll see if I'm right. But again, that's future talk. Right now, we had the pleasure Friday of airing out some sound from Eli Manning, two-time world champion, a guy that's been MVP of multiple Super Bowls, and he was at his family's passing academy down in Thibodaux. And we aired that one on Friday. Today, let's get you some sound from really all over the place. And we'll start with a guy that's been a signal caller for quite some time, and certainly a lot of fans in South Louisiana familiar with the Nickel State Colonel, Chase Forcade. Here's some of what Forcade had to say to a media gathering. Again, whether we're talking LSU, La Tech, UL, even Nickels, everybody just wants to leave a mark. Here's what Chase said about trying to leave his with the Colonels.
I feel like I've been working even harder, just with myself and just really getting it to the team as well. Just like I said, we're really working hard at what we do, and it's something that, like I said, it's something that we really take pride in just because of what happened last year. When, you know, we're not trying to stick to the second round anymore. We're trying to get even better every year, and I know we're only going to grow. I only know this school is going to grow and the football program is going to grow, but you know, I'm trying to leave a mark here. That's what I want to do, and that's what I try to do every day.
We'll get at least one more from Chase Forcade. He was asked about his head coach, Tim Rebo, a man who has spent time as an assistant here at UL. Frankly, when HUD and UL parted ways, he was one of the guys that there was a lot of speculation toward. I didn't think it was going to happen for him. Not that he wasn't deserving. I just always thought that an AD, an athletic department that came from out of state, may just look for some out-of-state ways and some out-of-state ingenuity. Still, Tim Rebo, very much respected inside the boot. And here's what a guy that has laced it up at quarterback for him said about his head coach.
Listen, everything this man says is true, and he speaks right to me. And just like I said, he's a great person, great coach, and you know, just his message he brings to the team, that they really get it right when he says it. And you know, we really do what he says. And Like I said, he's a great person. You know, I can go to him for whenever. You know, he's a great connection. You know, he knows a lot of guys. But like I said, I can't thank him enough for what he's done for the school and for myself. And you know, like I said, I love him to death. But he's a great coach, and just he brings a lot to this program. He does a lot for this program.
All right, one more from Chase Forcade. He spent so much time around Archie and Peyton and Eli, maybe even Cooper Manning. Here's what he has learned. Not just from the MPA, the Manning Passing Academy. Here's what he said he's learned from the Mannings at large.
Yeah, just how they come with it every day with the football, and just how they watch film, how they stay consistent with the work ethic, and just how they treat it every day, and how they come with it, and just like I said, that's 18-year vets, 15-year vets, and it's just 2 Super Bowl champs, 3 total. I mean, that's unbelievable. Just what they've been doing. It's just something that I really grasp. I really get the knowledge from.
We'll switch gears here, and I do not want to be accused of Homer Radio. So let's just introduce this next guy as somebody who used to have the best Twitter handle in the game, Jake from State From. And, of course, that is now third-year starting quarterback at the University of Georgia, Jake From. He was one of the big keynote type of college quarterbacks, I guess you'd say, that was at Thibodaux and there at the Manning Passing Academy. And first off, well, here's what the Georgia Bulldogs said about the MPA.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's an unbelievable experience to come and feed into the younger generation like you're talking about. You know, a lot of these kids, you know, the numbers say a lot of them won't play college football. So it's an opportunity for them to come out, get coached by some college players, get coached by Peyton Eli, a lot of the great coaches. It's just awesome for them. You know, they get a lot of work, go out and compete, have a great time, and it's super fun for everybody involved.
We'll quickly chase that with why Fromm decided to come back to the Manning Passy Academy. Again, a lot of respect being paid to that royal family of football, to this event, but I think you'll find for just cause and for good reason.
It's awesome, because you know, the Mannings, they're a great family. They are, and they run a very awesome, well-organized camp. So I'm thankful that they picked me to come help coach it, and hopefully I meet their expectations.
All right, one more as we come down the stretch. More sound from the 2019 Manning Passing Academy. Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm says he's using last season as motivation. Bulldogs played for the national title, came up just short in overtime 2 seasons ago, didn't quite knock on that door in 2018.
Obviously work, you know, we didn't necessarily end up where we wanted to be, and we didn't finish the way we wanted to finish. So obviously it's a little bit of motivation just coming in and work every day and just start the grind.
Finally, we'll get one from Cody Ogeron, familiar name because not only is he Ed's son, played ball over on the North Shore, Mandeville area outside of New Orleans, and of course, certainly now McNeese State, he's been quite the name. And here's what Cody Ogeron had to say about his proud papa, the guy that's the head coach at LSU, and really what it's like being his son.
I take pride in it, man. Be on my P's and Q's at all times, but at the same time, just being me, no pressure, just be myself, and just work hard every day. And my dad's done a great job of building that last name, and it's up to us to keep it.
There you have it. And again, I want to tip the cap. RP3, my man, woke up, did a show Friday, drove immediately down to Thibodeau, fetched this sound for our station, came back, and he was at Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's this morning. So, again, don't feel too sorry for him. It's a charmed life that he lives and that I get to live as well, and that's a good opportunity. As we head toward our final break of the program, to remind you, I'll be out, as will B2BS tomorrow, live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's. Hey, we've been corrected. It's not Karen Crow. It's Lafayette. And I don't beg to differ, but I recognize it's a fine line we're walking. Exit 1C off 549, Pont de Mouton, and then there's exit 4. Right? And that's where, I mean, I take that exit to get to the studio every day at Gloria Switch. One is Karen Crow, one is Lafayette, and in between the two, apparently shall not meet. But you know where I'm talking about, and you need to come out and see me tomorrow. Got some rowdy friends that'll be joining me in person, and you should come as well. Again, B2BS tomorrow live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's, exit 1C, Pont de Mouton off I-49. I was there this morning. Place was packed out. At 7:40 a.m. Today was opening day. Tomorrow, we make it even better. All right, when we return, Clint taking you under the dome, MLB teams to rise and fall in the second half. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in quick, fast, and in a hurry on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Iron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
The music, hey, it's familiar to me. I host the show, hopefully to you as well. And we appreciate YP. You people out there in listener land are faithful listeners. And that music does mean that one final time, you've got Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Soon, very soon, we're getting to Under the Dome, MLB style. Yeah, we got the All-Star game coming up, I believe, in just about 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks. We'll have the Home Run Derby, and then after that, the ASG, if I'm not mistaken. Again, Clint's going to take you Under the Dome on that subject in a hot second. Before that, your final reminder today that the weekly reboot podcast is available. Here's why that's important to you. We're about to run out of real estate for B2BS. When we're done, if you crave more, especially if you're just stark wild excited, as you should be, about the New Orleans Pelicans, I advise you check out this week's edition of the Weekly Reboot Podcast. It's all about NOLA basketball, going from down and out to a destination city. I think you'll enjoy it. Put a lot of time into it this week. Go check it out. It's free. Just go to 1037thegame.com or our free mobile app, click or tap on demand. Enjoy the weekly reboot podcast presented every week by our friends at the Cigar Cove. And speaking of the Cigar Cove, yeah, 3 days from now, 4th of July, get over there. You're going to want the perfect stogies for our Independence Day. They're open tomorrow and Wednesday. TheCigarCove.com. You'll find more information. All right, enough of that. Let's get on to CD. And I've already kind of spilled the beans for you. One MLB team to improve, one to fall back in the second half. Clint, hit us with the goods.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge. The baseball season may be a long, long grind. I don't think everybody can agree 162 games is a little too much, but man, blink and you miss it. We're halfway through the season. We're nearing the All-Star break, and congrats to everybody who was announced as part of the All-Star teams for the AL and the NL. I think that's where I want to start things off, because we have the All-Star game next week, which is kind of the unofficial midway point of the season. And it's always great to kind of look back and also look ahead to that second half of the season. And Ben threw it this way at me, and I say, why not kind of knock this bad boy out of the park? All right, no more puns. We'll get this party started off right with somebody who I think can be on the come up. And I think it's going to be weird to say this, but I got to go with the Boston Red Sox. They are a team who has been on that downward spiral all throughout the season. From what I've seen, they just have been very underwhelming. The World Series hangover, in case you didn't know, it is all too real, and that could be something that's going to affect this team for a long, long time. And I'm not necessarily going to be the one to run around and say, you know, they're going to be a World Series contender, but I think they'll be a team on the come up, because you have to realize they're several games back, I think 10 games back in the AL East, up against a team like the Tampa Bay Rays, who are definitely, seems like they don't know what they want to do. Do they want to be a dual citizenship team? There we go. Got that word out there. But we also got to wind up looking also at the New York Yankees. Can they sustain what they've done as of late, especially after this past weekend where they were hitting dingers left, right, and sideways? I think they would love to permanently be able to play in a park like in foggy London Town, where home runs were at a premium. And it was just absolutely amazing to see what they were able to do over the weekend in London. But of course, the Boston Red Sox weren't going to let them just roll over him and die, and it was nothing short and impressive to see what Boston was doing this past weekend. I think in the second half of the season, once they make a couple moves here and there before the trade deadline, I think this is going to be an absolute steal, and I can't wait to see what they wind up doing. And I think they wind up making the postseason, possibly as a wild card, but I think that's still a step up from what they were after the first couple months of the season, because they were struggling just like the Astros were about a week ago. But mind you, 3 wins, it's not necessarily a sure thing that they'll turn this thing into a complete and utter dominance over the next week, but definitely easier said than done. That being said, looking over at a team that definitely will be on the downturn, I gotta go with the Chicago Cubs. It feels like they just aren't doing the right things, and they just cannot get out of their own way. They've been trading the lead back and forth in the NL Central. If you listen to Rounding the Bases, you know that. They have been trading that thing back and forth like a game of hot potato, and that's a big reason why I'm not necessarily sold on what's going on with the Chicago Cubs and their first half of the season. I think they wind up dipping down significantly, and they'll miss the postseason once again. And it feels weird to think about that, because just a couple years ago, this team broke the Billy Goat's curse and turned things around in Chicago, Illinois. They wanted making things a big deal. Go Cubs, go. Flying the W was a tradition. And now it seems like they're just waving that L, and they pretty soon might be waving that white flag and saying goodbye to the postseason, at least for 2019. 2020, we shall see. But like I said, I think the Chicago Cubs are going to be on the downturn. Mind you, feels like that cliff is going to be too hard to fall off of because of how tight the NL Central has been, largely because it feels like you've got the Cardinals kind of exchanging it back and forth like hot potato. I think the Chicago Cubs will be on the downturn. They'll miss out on the playoffs. And the Boston Red Sox, they're going to be the team to watch. They will be playing spoiler. I guarantee you that. They will be playing some spoiler towards the end of the season, knocking somebody at the wild card. And that probably the team will probably be the Tampa Bay Rays, who honestly just need to move over to Montreal. They'll stay in the AL East more likely than not, but just get them out of there, put them in Montreal, and be done with it. That's all I have to say about that. And honestly, I'm just getting tired of talking about the Tampa Bay Rays and their dual citizenship story. Hopefully you are as well. But yeah, that's what I got, Ben. I've got the Chicago Cubs on the fall, on the downward spiral, while the Boston Red Sox, they're moving on up. Not necessarily to the east side, because already in the AL East.
Oh, look, a bit of a curveball there. Of course, using some baseball parlance for you. I didn't think he'd go Cubbies there. Tell you what, I'm not going to show my full hand. I'm not going to reveal CD, who I thought you would take for the second half tanker. But I'm okay that you went Cubbies, right? You know, everybody understands. They listen to this program.
I'm a Cardinals fan. Got to take in a game at Busch Stadium now about a week and a half ago. If you think the Cardinals are going to suck down the stretch, I'm all in, and I'm here for it. Let's just hope it goes from your lips to God's ears, at least the baseball gods in the NL Central. Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to close out today's program. We are going to be busy for the next 48 hours. Again, let me remind you, tomorrow, three-hour edition. I know it's Tuesday. Usually I'm out in 2 hours. Three-hour edition tomorrow of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's at the Pont de Mouton exit. It's exit 1C off I-49. I'll have goodies to give away, and of course, I'll have even better goodies than I could ever give away to you. The Price is Right. I was there this morning, took some Boudin to my coworkers, and it was like I don't know, cured cancer. I mean, seriously, people were fired up about it. Come check out a live edition of B2BS for Billy's Boudin and Cracklin's tomorrow. We will have a Wednesday show. We'll break for the 4th of July. We'll do the same things you are. Hopefully we'll stay safe like you will doing them. And then we'll have a best of Bumper to Bumper Sports on Friday, which is redundant because it's great every damn day. And don't you forget it. I want to thank our guest, Steve Kuyler, BasketballInsiders.com. He is great every damn day as well. Ruffin Rodri in the 5 o'clock hour. And earlier this hour, you heard from James Buers with the Acadiana Advocate as we continue our full court press. Basketball lingo there on high school football. See what I did? And if you missed any of those interviews, highly recommend that you catch up, that you go on demand, 1037thegame.com, and listen. They were great today. And so were you. Thanks for being with us. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love, and you've been dialed in to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. We'll catch you tomorrow, 4 p.m.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.